called us to be disciple-making Christians and a disciple-making church. He has given us the Great Commission to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that He's commanded. And so we're supposed to be about making disciples, not just seeing people become converts, but disciples, true disciples of Christ. And so when we think about what it means to make disciples and what discipleship really entails, we learn from other people. We're going to look at that tonight. We're not trying to get people to just say a prayer and just sign up on our church rolls and never hear from them again. We want them to follow Christ and make a difference in the world. So I want to invite you to look with me in 2 Timothy. We're just going to look at two verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 tonight. It says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Father, as we come to your word, we do ask that you bless the reading of your word. We ask that you speak, O Lord, to our hearts, Lord, that you form and fashion us, mold us, change our thinking to align with what your word commands and tells us, Lord. And help us to be disciples who make disciples for the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray that you would grow this church, not just in number, but in depth, that we might follow you and that we might leave a legacy behind us so that the next generation to come behind us is even more strong in the Lord and in the Word. And Lord, I just ask you to use me tonight, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at two things tonight, and just to kind of set things up, we're jumping into the middle of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and to put the book into context so you understand how important it is, what Paul is saying here. This is Paul's second and final letter to Timothy. Now, Timothy was his son in the faith. Timothy had been left a pastor in Ephesus, and Paul is in prison. This is a different imprisonment than what he was imprisoned in the book of at the end of the book of Acts. And so he's in another imprisonment. This is the one that he's going to eventually become a martyr for the faith. He's going to actually be beheaded by the Emperor Nero. But he knows his time is drawing near. He knows that he's got only a little bit of time left on this earth. And so everything that he says in this letter is important. There's no time for jokes. There's no time for wasted words. Everything is critical. And these are his last words to Timothy. He doesn't believe he's really going to see Timothy again, and so he's giving him the most important instructions. And the first letter that he wrote to Timothy was how to put the things in order in the house of God. How should things be conducted in the Lord's house? And now he's going to talk about laboring in the faith and not giving up, but continuing and pressing on, because there are those out there who are going to come, who have already started coming, that are going to pervert the gospel, and Timothy has to contend for the faith. He has to be on guard. He has to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. He has to cut the word straight. He has to be prepared and be diligent. And so he's going to tell him that he's got to be a disciple and a disciple maker. So the first thing that we want to see tonight about being a disciple-making Christian, about being a disciple-making church, is that you must first be a disciple yourself. You have to be a disciple yourself. We cannot be a disciple-making church if we're not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as a church are consisted of the members of this church. So if you individually are not a disciple of Christ, then we as a church cannot be disciples of Christ. And so he says in verses 1 and 2, "You then, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men." There's a couple things he tells Timothy about being a disciple, and the first thing is to be strengthened as a disciple. Part of being a disciple of the Lord is that we are growing in our faith. We are exercising that muscle of faith. And so we're in the Word, and we're learning more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us have had the privilege and the opportunity to grow up in church, and we got to hear the Bible stories when we were in the nursery and in the children's ministry. And it might seem like those were just really shallow stories that were told. We were just getting the message of the story, and it wasn't going a lot deeper. But for an infant in the faith And for a child, a lot of times you start short, shallower. You start in the shallow end, and you help them to understand the stories of the Bible. And then as they progress in their journey, they're going to begin to see things in those stories that they didn't know were there to begin with. They're going to see the thread that connects all of these, what might seem like individual stories in the Bible, and how they're all connected together to tell this big grand story of God's redemption of the world. We're going to begin to mine the deeper truths of Scripture and start to study theology and doctrine as we're learning these stories. And this is a lifetime journey of discipleship. It starts with us being a child, and then we grow in the faith. Now, you may not have grown up in the church. You may have come to faith along the way. And so now you're learning these stories at an older age, and so you don't have that background, but you still start at the same place, reading the Bible. You may learn faster, you may learn slower. It really doesn't matter. What matters is that you're growing in the faith. The Bible actually speaks about this in Hebrews, how they should have been able to move on to deeper things, but they were still on the milk of the Word. Now, in one place in the Bible, it will say that you're being nourished by the milk of God's Word like babes, and it's a positive thing. You're getting that nutrient, that nutritious milk and food that you need. But then on the other hand, in Hebrews, he's saying, hey, listen, you should have been able to move on from these things. I wonder how many of us as Christians are still stuck on the baby things. We're still stuck on the minor things. Now, don't get me wrong. We never get over the gospel. We never get over those things, but we should be able to go deeper because we should be in the Word, digging deep and mining the truths of God's Word. What's interesting in the ESV expository commentary points this out, that this word to be strengthened is a passive word in the Greek here. It's passive even in the English. He doesn't say strengthen yourself. He says be strengthened. It's something that's happening to Timothy as he's in the Word. He can't do it for himself. It has to be given to him from the outside. That's what happens when we read our Bible every day. I am really sore, and I just feel like this is an opportunity for me to tell you that I worked out this past week. And I didn't know if I would find a way to fit it into the sermon, but I feel like this is appropriate. So right here in my arms, you know, I feel like my arms are all locked up. I haven't worked out like that since a long, long time ago. And we've got this little exercise equipment that my mother-in-law gave to us. She wasn't using it anymore, and it was standing there. It's been in the little playroom area for a long time, and I really felt like it really needed to be used. And I need to strengthen my muscles so that I don't want to be that big pot belly preacher. You know, I want to be in shape. I'm not looking to buff up. And so I was not using a lot of weight. I was just using a little bit. But I'm not strong as I thought I was. And so I'm paying the price for it. I need to grow, and I need to work up to number three on that thing. I started out, and that was with both arms, y'all. I started out too many reps and too strong, and now I'm paying the price. Well, you know, when you say, "Hey, I'm fixing to binge read the Bible, and I'm going to read all 66 books in 30 days," I mean, that can be a beneficial practice. But if you've not been in the Word, you don't need to do that. And it's not going to be this grand, noticeable change that's going to happen overnight all the time. Sometimes you're going to have those wow moments, but a lot of times it's going to be the slow and steady meeting with God that is going to change you little by little, bit by bit. But you're being changed by the Lord. You're not doing it yourself. Now, that's not to say we don't obey and we don't put things into practice, but we are being changed. We're being changed from the inside out. Part of discipleship is this training and endurance in the Word. You can't quit because it's tough. I'm going to be honest with you. It hurt even using number three on those exercises. And my kids are trying to talk to me while I'm doing it. What's up with that? Don't talk to me. I'm straining just to breathe here. The little thing even says, make sure you breathe out. So I'm trying to make sure I breathe out, you know. And it hurt. It was not pleasant. I was sweating. I just wasn't comfortable. Well, you know, with discipleship, it's not always going to be pleasant. It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you're going to have to drag yourself out of bed early in the morning so nothing else steals your time away with the Lord. Sometimes you're going to get to the book of Leviticus or the book of Deuteronomy or some of these tougher books where you feel like you're just grinding through, you're going to need a workout partner, somebody to help you be held accountable. Hey, did you do your Bible reading today? Hey, what did you learn today? We need that. But it's that endurance in the Word and that training that strengthens us. And it'll become a joy to us, just like those crazy people that love to go to the gym. They've gotten past that hump that I'm at right now. But he says, be strengthened by the grace that is in you. The grace that is in you. It is the grace of salvation that is in him. So in order for Timothy to be strengthened, he had to be a believer. He had to be a follower. If we're going to grow in our faith, if we're going to grow in our understanding of the Word, we must have the Holy Spirit within us, which means we must be saved. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that some of these, excuse me, 1 Corinthians, that these things are spiritually discerned. The words that we read, there's some nuggets that are laying on the ground, but the ones that are the priceless gems that must be mined out, these things are spiritually discerned, and we need the Holy Spirit as our guide and as our teacher to help us understand. So if you are saved, you have that saving grace that is in you. You have faith in Christ. He also says, pay attention to the things that you have heard from me. As Timothy was being trained by Paul, Timothy didn't know everything there was to know about being a Christian. There's some people that have this ego complex where they think that if they don't know everything, then they must be a weak Christian. And so they try to act like they know every doctrine and everything about everything in the Bible. And you know, you and I are always going to be learning. We will be learning, I believe, even into heaven, we're going to learn new things about God. But until you get to heaven, you're going to be on this journey of progressive sanctification, growing in holiness. You're going to be growing in your knowledge of the Lord. And the older you get, the further along in your faith you get, the more you're going to realize you don't know. And so pride will kill your spiritual growth. And so Paul tells Timothy, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, you are to grow in these things. We have the Word, we have the Spirit, and we have other people to help us live this life of discipleship. But the second thing that he says to Timothy is you must also invest in others. We're to be disciples, but we're also to be investing in others. Look particularly in verse 2. He says, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's a chain of discipleship that includes four generations here in this verse. There's Paul, there's Timothy, there's the faithful men he entrusts things to, and then there's their disciples after them. Four different generations of discipleship that's going on in verse 2. The Bible tells us to find people that we can entrust these things that we've learned, these lessons that we've learned to other people. And a part of that is because if you've ever tried to study something, how many of you remember when you had a test coming up in school and you had all these notes and you had to study for these notes and you got together a study group and you began to sort of try to reteach those things? Maybe not, hey, let's have classes in session, but you started to, you would ask questions and then you would explain, and you're basically, as you're teaching other people, you're learning as you teach. That's one of the ways that we learn, is to take something that we've received and then try to communicate it to other people. That's really what the education system is supposed to be doing. We learn the building blocks and the basic facts, and then as we get older, we begin to go deeper with those facts. And then by the time you get into high school, that's that rhetoric phase where you're supposed to be able to take what you've learned, and now when the teacher gives you a test that's four essay questions, and that's all it is, and there's no multiple choice, and there's no matching, you're like, where did all that stuff go? I could have at least guessed on these. Now you are supposed to take what you've learned and articulate it in complete sentences. I don't know if they still do that, but that's what we used to have to do. And that's because you're supposed to take the information and then react with it, and you're supposed to teach and inform others. Well, we do the same thing in our walk with the Lord. We're not supposed to just learn Bible stories for the sake of learning them and being able to do really well on Bible trivia night or anything like that. We're actually supposed to take them and apply them to our lives. So he tells him, find men that are faithful that you can entrust these things to. Can I ask you, if you have somebody in your life that you are investing in that is your Timothy and you're the Paul to them, that you're teaching them the things you've learned, Now, in order to do that, it requires relationship. You cannot go up to somebody you don't have a relationship and just start bashing them upside the head with Scripture. You've got to truly care about them and invest time with them and develop that friendship and that relationship. And when you do, you will then earn the right to begin to speak into their heart. But there's this process of identifying faithful people to invest in. And Jesus also said this, don't cast your pearls before swine. There's some people that don't want to hear what you have to say, and you're to move on. If they don't want to be in a discipleship relationship with you, you cannot make them. But begin to pray. Ask God to help you identify, who are the people that I can pour my life into? Who are the people that come to me all the time asking me for answers to questions that they have? These are people that they're telling you they look up to you. They're telling you that you are a mentor to them. And begin to pray and ask God to help you identify who these people are, so that you can begin to teach them as well. You want to find people that are faithful, that will listen, that will put into practice what they learn from you, but then will also pass this on to other people. A lot of discipleship stops at this level. There are people that will say, yes, I'd love to be in a group with you. I'd love to be able to learn from you, but then they never take it upon themselves to begin to teach other people as well. And there's a lot of reasons why some people won't do it, because they feel like they don't know enough. But the truth is, we never know enough. You don't have to know enough. You just simply pass on what you've already learned. And you know, we tend to be forgetful. So you can go right back through those things all over again and cycle back through, because we forget. But we need to be passing these things on. This is the discipleship model that Paul gave to Timothy for making elders, which are these faithful men that he's talking about. But it's not just for pastors and preachers of churches, but it's for every member in the church. It applies to making disciples of Christ. You know, back in 2024, we had the Summer Olympics over in Paris. And we've got about two more years. We'll have them again. And in the Summer Olympics, you know, everybody loves to watch all the diving and all that kind of stuff that goes on. They like the gymnastics and all that. But there's this whole category of sports called track and field. And I always like to watch some of these things. And one of the things that they do is the 400-meter relay. And they've got the team with, you know, different people on this team, but four different people. And they learn how to run this relay. They want to be fast, but what's important with the 400-meter relay is not just being fast. You have to be accurate with the handoff. You can be the fastest runner out there, but if you can't hand the baton off and the baton gets dropped, then your team is probably not going to win. But you know what's also true of that 400-meter relay is that you can be really fast and you can be really good at handing the baton off, but if your teammate is not good at receiving that baton and handing it off as well, then even though you have one person that may be an anchor runner, they are still not going to win it by themselves. It takes the entire team. You know, that's true of us in the church. We are always one generation away from being like the generation of the period of the judges in the Bible, a generation that rises up that did not know the Lord. And all it takes to get to that point is to fail to be a disciple-making church. When we fail to identify these people that we need to pour our faith in to, and we fail to be learning ourselves, we are one generation of seeing people that say, you know what, I don't really think it's that important to go to church. I don't think it's really that important to worship. I don't think it's really that important to serve. I don't think it's really that important to be on mission and go out and share our faith. That's a private thing. And before long, the church will crumble and fall. We need to be a disciple-making church. And we have to understand that every believer has been given that task of making disciples. We're not simply to go out, find people, and bring them into the church so that the leaders in the church can disciple them. But God has given each of us the responsibility of fulfilling the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is a very large task. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is saying there in that Great Commission is that we're to make disciples of every tongue, of every people group, every ethnicity out there. You know, there are over 3,000 people groups out there in the world today that have zero gospel witness. There are so many closed regions in the world as well. This can seem daunting for us to accomplish this, and it certainly can't be done if we don't have every person sharing their faith, every person being a disciple-making Christian. So as we circle back and we come full circle at the end here tonight, I want to just ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But not just that, because I know you're here on a Sunday night. I know that if you're here on a Sunday night, you probably have professed faith in Christ. But are you growing in your faith? Are you truly a disciple? Trying to move beyond the basics and grow deeper and understand the God that you love and you worship so that you can understand Him more and you can understand His ways. Are you identifying people that you can begin to share your faith with and you can begin to disciple? Tonight, we need to be a disciple-making church. I want to invite you to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And as we close out the service, I want to just challenge you to ask God in these moments to help you identify someone that you can begin to pour your life into. Maybe you're a parent here tonight, and that's your children. God has given you the responsibility to disciple your family and your children so they know the Lord. That's no one else's responsibility but your own. And so if you're a parent, that's certainly one group of people that you need to be pouring into. Maybe you're a grandparent and you have the opportunity to help pour into your grandchildren. But maybe you don't have children or grandchildren in the home. Maybe there's somebody else. Maybe there's a coworker. Maybe there's a friend. Maybe there's a spouse. Maybe there's someone else. Who is it that God wants you to begin to pour your life into? Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for what you've done for us, thanking you for your word. We thank you that someone took the time to share the gospel with us. Someone took the time to walk alongside of us so that we could be strengthened in the word and we could obey your commands. Lord, we thank you for the teachers and the pastors and the leaders that have been over us throughout the years and that will be over us in the years to come. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be able to stand in that great cloud of witnesses, to go before people and urge them on, to hold them accountable, to encourage them so that they might walk in your ways. And we might be a disciple-making culture, have a disciple-making culture in this church and be disciple-making Christians. Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this last song, you may want to worship where you are. The Lord may be speaking to your heart. Maybe God's put somebody's name on your heart and you want to